This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasothi. Most people are aware of the kidney's major functions. Of course, we know it's to remove waste products and excess fluids from the body. But tiny filters in the kidneys, called glomeruli, help with this secretion process. However, these filters can become inflamed, causing a condition known as glomerulonephritis. Yes, thank you very much. I have a doctor in the studio with me who's going to help me every time I stumble on that word. Glomerulonephritis. Dr. Wong Man Ho, internal medicine and nephrologist specialist. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hello, hi. Thank you for having me here.
What is this we're talking about? I know what it is. They're called glomeruli. We know they are tiny filters within the kidney. Maybe we should just start off with, how does a healthy kidney work?
Okay, so basically our kidneys help us regulate a few things. Commonly, I think most layperson will understand that you remove toxins from the body, you know, you get rid of fluids, you know, we got excess water, you know, we get rid of it. If you don't have enough water, it helps to retain water. It helps us also regulate some of the bone compounds such as calcium and phosphate. It also helps us produce a hormone called erythropoietin, which is very important to produce actually red blood cells in the body.
That is a lot of work, actually, for the kidney. Yeah?
Yes.
We sort of underestimate the function of the kidney. And what happens when to kidney functions when you develop glomerulonephritis? Thank you.
Thanks.
So what happens to these tiny filters?
All right. So the kidney is actually a very interesting organ. So it has functional units, what we call nephrons. Okay, I'm going to be a bit scientific here. And inside the nephron, there is something called a glomeruli, which is basically the filtering cells. Okay, this is the one that helps us get rid of all the toxins and water, which I was trying to tell you about. Okay, so when there's injury to these cells, or what sometimes we term the medical term inflammation, actually this leads to this condition called glomerulonephritis.
Okay, and what brings about this inflammation?
Okay, so glomerulonephritis, essentially you can develop, classify as more like a primary or a secondary cause. Primary means it happens on its own, or sometimes we use the term de novo. It may be an immune-mediated process and it has caused damage to the kidney.
Meaning you are immunocompromised and then it affects your glomeruli?
It's more of like having, if you want to put it that way, it's like probably you have some sort of immune process that actually kind of, instead of killing all the bacteria and viruses,
but it attacks the filters.
It attacks the filters.
All right, so it's an autoimmune disease.
Yes, it can be put in that way. All right. Whereas for a secondary cause, it's probably related to a systemic condition, all right, such as diabetes mellitus or, you know, systemic lupus erythematosus, or something we call SLE, okay, which causes lupus nephritis, or even certain types of cancers, which all can lead to secondary causes of glomerulonephritis.
Okay, and do we have statistics for Malaysia of this condition, glomerulonephritis?
Okay, I think the Malaysian Society of Nephrology has done a lot of work. They have published data through their National Renal Registry, the NNR. Most of this information can be found on the Malaysian Society of Nephrology website at msn.org.my. And basically shows that primary glomerulonephritis, the most common one we do see is called minimal change. All right. Other causes include IgA nephropathy as well as focal segmental glomerulosclerosis.
What is all of that?
Basically, these are all histopathological classifications. So what happens is, for us to diagnose glomerulonephritis, we have to do this test called a kidney biopsy, where the doctor will essentially take a sample of tissue from one kidney, hopefully, and it will be examined under the microscope. And from there, they will give a diagnosis of one of these group of glomerulonephritis. Okay?
And under what circumstance would you do a biopsy? I mean, what are the symptoms that one would present with?
Okay. So some of the common symptoms of glomerulonephritis may include like swelling, very common. Patients may actually complain of facial swelling, or sometimes we use the term facial puffiness. Some patients may come in with passing out blood in the urine, and this passing out blood can be what we call gross hematuria, where you see actual is red color, Or some people may actually develop blood through urine dipstick testing, which means that they do a urine test, and from the microscopy, they found that there's actually red cells in the urine. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, patients may complain of...
But that can mean anything else. You know,
correct.
It can mean many other conditions as well.
Correct. Agreed. I totally agree with you as well. So a lot of times, the diagnosis is not very easily made and requires some level of index of suspicion from your doctor.
So is it often missed by doctors?
It may not be often missed, but it may take a bit of time for diagnosis. So let me give you an example. Commonly now, we do a lot of medical examinations, and sometimes that includes a urine or a kidney test as well in the blood.
So screening, you mean?
Screening, mm-hmm. Yes, correct. So commonly, these patients that present to me will be somebody who has incidental finding of blood in the urine, and it persists for a period of time. So usually then it needs to be investigated, and sometimes they might have glomerulonephritis. So eventually, when we do a kidney biopsy on these patients, we found that they may have conditions such as IgA nephropathy or focal segmental glomerular sclerosis, you see. So this is how we probably, the first step that we take, you know, to help to find to the diagnosis.
So diagnosis is usually a biopsy then?
Yes.
That's very invasive.
Correct.
So... under what circumstance would you do a biopsy? I mean, if I present with blood in the urine and you do, in fact, find out, or based on the histopathologist's report, it is indeed glomerulonephritis, does that mean one has to go for a biopsy?
Okay, I guess there's probably a few implications here when we want to do a biopsy. All right. You have to understand that if glomerulonephritis goes untreated, it actually can lead to kidney damage and causes this condition called chronic kidney disease. So I think a lot of times, I would suggest that if you have blood in your urine, at least go and see a doctor. Let the doctor examine it first and see whether that he or she, you know, requires more further workup and treatment. And usually the doctor will be able to pick up some of these, and they will ask you a whole set of signs and symptoms, such as perhaps what I've asked you earlier on. And from there on, the doctor will decide whether this requires a further referral, or if there's any concern, perhaps, you know, should see a kidney doctor directly to see whether you might have this condition or not.
We often hear of kidney problems when it comes to diabetes. How do you know which comes first? Is it the diabetes that's caused the glomerulonephritis, or the other way around?
Okay, a lot of times, the history, like what most doctors should do, they will be asked a set of questions, you know. If you've had long-standing history of diabetes mellitus and you suddenly develop leg swelling, you know, we check your urine, you pass out a lot of protein, example, you know. So, and then usually we'll proceed on by doing some investigations to exclude some other common conditions, all right, depending on your age group. And from there on, usually a biopsy is required. Then from there, we can conclusively tell you whether your glomerulonephritis is related to diabetes or not, or is related to another, or what we call primary glomerulonephritis.
Is there any demographic that is more susceptible to this condition? Age, gender?
So a lot of times when we see secondary glomerulonephritis, I think one of the very important things, especially in a diabetic patient, I think we have to ask ourselves whether this is truly due to diabetes or due to something else. And we know that a lot of times someone who has diabetic-related glomerulonephritis, there's usually a long period of diabetes that has occurred, which means that if you were just diagnosed diabetes like probably yesterday or a week before, you know, and you start developing all these leg swellings which you cannot explain, then perhaps it may be something else rather than you put it down on diabetes.
You worked in university hospital before,
yep,
branching out to the private practice. Did you see many cases in UH?
Yes, because we are a tertiary referral centre, mm-hmm, so we do receive a lot of referrals, even walk-ins, you know, and sometimes in very unfortunate cases where they do come in with already extensive kidney damage, and it's all related to glomerulonephritis.
Okay, so the first thing is you need to sort of treat it because it can further cause kidney damage.
Correct.
All right, and is it easily treatable, do you think?
All right, so it goes back down. That's why the underlying cause is very important. a lot of times, if it's due to a secondary cause, as I was telling you, due to diabetes or even due to lupus, we have to give sufficient treatment to the diabetes and the lupus. So you treat the secondary cause. If it's due to the cancer, example, causing secondary glomerulonephritis, then you have to treat the cancer. You treat the cancer, then the glomerulonephritis goes away. Right. If it's primarily, a lot of times we use a lot of immunosuppressants, means drugs that suppress the immune system. Mm-hmm. So to give an example, may include drugs like steroids, okay, prednisolone, which is a commonly used drug. Sometimes we use even stronger immunosuppressants like azathioprine, mycophenolate mofetil, and there's a whole range of other immunosuppressants and biological agents which are now easily available in our country to treat glomerulonephritis.
Okay, we're discussing glomerulonephritis, which is, if you're wondering what it is little filters in your kidney that are inflamed. Your kidney has a major function, and as Dr. Wong has just explained to us, there are these extra filters in your kidney play a big role in the filtration process, and if it is inflamed, then it really needs to be treated, failing which it could lead to kidney failure. So there is a primary and a secondary cause. Most often it is secondary, or would you say it's primary?
It depends. We don't really have actual statistics to say the primary or secondary is more common, but I think a lot of times we do what we call a diagnosis of exclusion. You know, if we find that this particular patient doesn't have diabetes, cancer, lupus, you know, and then we probably regard this group as having not secondary but more primarily glomerulonephritis.
Is there still a lot that we don't know about this condition?
Yes, there's ongoing research going on for a lot of the different types of glomerulonephritis, especially the different subclassifications. And a lot of work has been put in, you know, whether in this country as well as outside this country, who is trying to find new treatments and ways for management of glomerulonephritis.
Okay, Dr. Wong Man Ho, internal medicine and nephrologist in the studio. If you have a question for him on glomerulonephritis, text 0162019000 or tweet PFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. We're discussing a condition called glomerulonephritis with Dr. Wong Man Ho, an internal medicine specialist and nephrologist. If you're wondering what it is tiny filters in your kidneys which are inflamed. These filters are called glomeruli, and they help with the secretion process. I mean, we all know our kidney's function is to remove waste products and excess fluids from the body. So we're trying to understand this. Treatment options, what are they, Dr. Wong?
Okay, so it basically depends on the type of glomerulonephritis, you know. I think for most instances, if it's due to primary glomerulonephritis, a lot of times we use immunosuppressants, and usually steroids is one of the drugs which are very useful. We use it. And at the same time, I was mentioning, we use other immunosuppressants which are much stronger, because we know steroids has a range of side effects as well.
Yes.
Other treatments include some of these glomerulonephritis are associated with hypertension, as well as a lot of protein in the urine. So we will do give drugs to control the blood pressure, and we also start certain drugs to actually reduce the protein in the urine. Because we know that the higher the protein levels we do develop in the urine, this actually has been shown to lead to further deterioration as well as damage to the kidneys.
Okay, and if the kidneys are severely damaged, what are your options?
Okay, so it will come to a point where if glomerulonephritis is untreated, okay, you can develop chronic kidney disease, and this leads to end-stage kidney failure. And the patient will require some form of renal replacement therapy. And when I meant renal replacement therapy, it will be some form of dialysis or transplantation, which means that you need to actually do something about it to make your kidneys continue working. So either you do a dialysis or you actually do a transplant where you actually someone donates a kidney to you and you can continue functioning with all the functions we have mentioned about the kidney.
Is it usually detected early?
Sorry, the
glomerulonephritis amongst patients, or do they come to you when, you know, it's already quite
it's
at an
quite
advanced
variable
stage?
I have patients who have actually presented very late, and I've also had patients who present very early, to early in extent that, like I was mentioning earlier on, that a lot of people now go for medical screening, and they find, you know, incidental finding of blood in the urine. So these are the very common group of patients, or incidental finding of protein in the urine. And these are very common group of patients who will come and see a kidney specialist, and subsequently the kidney specialist will investigate accordingly and determine whether you truly have common nephritis or not. So these will be the cases where they get detected very early. On the other extreme, you have a patient who coming with all the signs of kidney failure. They've got severe leg swelling, they've got poor appetite, they may be vomiting already, and when we do their kidney function tests, it's already at the end stage level and they need to undergo urgent or emergency dialysis.
Is there a cure, would you say?
If it's detected early, what happens is we can actually control the disease.
Provided it's not caused by other medical conditions.
Correct. Yeah, if it's due to primary common nephritis, a lot of times with drugs that are currently available, we actually can easily control the disease. I will not use the term cure, perhaps, because I think
it's a strong word.
It's a very strong word, mm-hmm. But we can certainly control the disease, and a lot of these patients will have much better outcomes in terms of their kidney survival.
Can you prevent it?
Essentially, prevention. Probably, I think I'll focus probably more on trying to detect it as opposed to trying to prevent it, because when we say prevention is we have to try to find a way that we can actually, avoid the problem. But a lot of times the diagnosis is the challenge, you see. So it's probably difficult to prevent it, but emphasis is probably to have early detection. And then from there, early treatment.
And that is through screening?
Yes.
So to be a little bit more sensitive to blood in the urine and protein in the urine.
Correct.
And then, maybe ask for further analysis of
Correct.
This.
Yes. There's
obviously a reason why you felt this is an important topic to discuss. Why, Dr. Wong?
Because common nephritis doesn't just... We always have assumed that a lot of diseases affect the elderly, diabetes, hypertension. But common nephritis is something that also affects the very young. And I think as we progress, it's very important that, we detect some of these signs and symptoms much earlier, which are sometimes commonly ignored before they actually, develop complications of kidney failure.
Okay.
Because in the current registry, we have more than 30,000 patients on dialysis, and every year that figure is increasing more and more every year. So it's very concerning for me. And common nephritis contributes about 3-5% of all end-stage kidney failure patients in the country.
It may not seem like a lot, but it is.
It may not seem a lot, but it is.
Mm-hmm. In terms of quantity,
correct.
It is.
Yeah.
We have a text message here. My uncle had this kidney disease, which manifested with fever only, and much later, creatinine levels in his blood went up. He nearly lost his kidneys, but thankfully he recovered with treatment, and he still takes medicine many years later. Does that sound like glomerular nephritis?
I'll probably require more information because how old is
the... Nothing, no information.
All right.
just sharing his story, actually.
Correct, yeah. Because what happens is creatinine is one of the tests that we do in the blood to check the function of the kidney. The higher your creatinine level, the more damaged the kidney is. Whether this has happened suddenly or whether it happened in a long period of time, what we call chronic, it's probably hard to determine, and we have to do serial levels or do comparisons of previous blood results before so that we can determine whether it's happened suddenly or it happened, for a long period of time already.
Dr. Wong, I've had people come to me and say, my grandfather's really ill. His kidneys seem to be doing well. They're monitoring his salt level in his blood. What does that mean?
I would make the assumption that monitoring the salt level will probably be talking about sodium levels.
So, and what is that indicator as far as the kidney is concerned?
When the kidney fails to function, sometimes they may not be able to regulate sodium very well. So sometimes levels can be high or can be low. And certain mechanisms, like if you're overhydrated, in the sense that there's too much water in your body, sometimes sodium can be on the low side as well. And sometimes you're very severely dehydrated, again, sodium can be on a higher level. So the context of sodium is always very interesting. And we always try to do a lot of work and try to figure out, what's causing the low sodium or the high sodium. All right.
And this comes through in a blood test?
Yes, from the blood test.
Okay.
A lot of times when we do the kidney function test, most lab laboratories will actually check the sodium, the creatinine level, as well as another test called the urea, which is also indicative of kidney disease.
Okay. Your message on glomerulonephritis?
I think...
Because last year, the National Kidney Foundation reported 2.5 million Malaysians have some form of kidney disease. 2.5 million. If you put that up, bump that up to three, that's almost 10% of our population.
This is probably based on data published by the Ministry of Health, which actually estimated that the prevalence of chronic kidney disease is about 9.7%. And so if you do a mathematical equation, that's pretty much where you get the 2.5 million from. And we know that the gourmet nephritis do contribute to a significant proportion. So probably my message out there is if someone has incidental finding of blood, protein, or even abnormal kidney function tests, and we have symptoms of leg swelling before, I think you should consult a kidney doctor to have yourself evaluated whether you have glomerulonephritis.
And all of us do screening tests at some stage, so it is quite, you know, it's there in front of you.
Yeah, it's quite universal.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Sure, thank you.
Dr. Wong Man Ho, internal medicine specialist and nephrologist, talking to us about glomerulonephritis on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.